Please be seated. Sean, if you want to take the pulpit. Oh, he's taking his jacket off. I hope everybody brought lunch. Just in case you don't know who Sean is, my brother is the leader of his big house, a ministry that goes out and brings kids from the neighborhoods around All Souls. And Sean is proclaiming the gospel into those young lives. He is changing the world every Saturday morning. If you have not had a chance to be here on Saturday, you'll be blessed. So please come. So pray with me. So Sean got the call late yesterday, yes, that he needed to be ready to preach the gospel today. So just pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that Sean is willing and able to proclaim your word. So come, Holy Spirit, come. Give him power in the words he speaks. And Lord, as your power departs from his words, may it pierce our hearts. Lord Jesus, transform us, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. All right. Hey, honestly, it's an honor to be here in front of my church family. And like he said yesterday, I got the call, and Brooke told me he wasn't feeling well, and he asked me if I'd come up here. And I asked him to go to another doctor and get a second opinion first. So It is an honor to come before you. Today I want to speak about integrity. All right. And I am not going to pretend and sit up here and act like I'm a man that has it all together. But the reason why I want to talk about it is because it's what I thirst for. I thirst to be a real man of God, an obedient servant of God. And that's the reason why I want to talk about that. Lent is coming up. And it's a time for us to draw closer to our God and examine ourselves. So this is the reason why this is what I want to speak about today. So let's get right into it. What is integrity? It's basically doing what's right. Very simple. It's when we tell somebody we're going to do something that we keep our word. In Psalms 15:4, it talks about a man who keeps his word even though it hurts. And God wants us to be people that when we say something, we mean what we say. And that we are people that we just don't speak carelessly. And I got to admit, in my life, that's something that I'm asking God to help me with. Because there are times that I really intend to do what comes out of my mouth. But sometimes I don't follow through. And I'm asking God to give me integrity in these areas. Integrity also, it doesn't mean that we don't do anything wrong, that we're perfect. Actually, integrity sometimes is going to a person and telling them, I was wrong. Forgive me. Integrity means being able to tell a person about your shortcomings and doing whatever you can to fix what you've done, if possible. My wife knows that. I'm always having to ask for forgiveness. This morning I had to go to my son. Son, forgive me. You know, but that is integrity. Okay. Proverbs 22:1. It says a good name is more desirable than great riches. When I was younger, I was born in the projects, and my mother, she had to raise 5 kids on her own. And my mother taught us to be respectful, and she taught us to care for people. And she was always taking clothes and helping people in the community, or she would send us out on Thanksgiving to get people to come and eat at the house. So she gave us a good name in our community. And there was a Caucasian boy I grew up with. We weren't friends, but we grew up in the same neighborhood. And when we got older and we were adults, he came to me and he said, you know, my father raised me to hate African-American people. He said, he told me everything that they were. And he said, when I went outside and I seen your family, he said, it made a difference because your family, the way your family was, it made me believe that all African-American people aren't bad. That's what integrity does. We as Christians in our neighborhoods, what do they see of us? This world thinks, I have a boss that thinks that Christians think they're better than everybody. That Christians have no tolerance for anybody else. When we show that integrity, they look and then they see us going out every Sunday morning. And they say, that's why he's the way he is. He's a man of God. She's a woman of God. We should build our image on integrity, who we are. Not on our jobs, not on how much money we got or for you younger people, the shoes you're wearing or, you know, the cars we're driving, neighborhood we live in. That's not what we should build integrity on. We should build it on our relationship with God, and we should do everything we can to make our relationship with God as good as it could possibly be. Material things are not what we should build our integrity on. Not titles, not recognition, but we should define ourselves, men, by being good fathers. Women, being good mothers. Being good husbands and wives. Being good role models and examples. That's what should define us. For my son and my wife and my daughter, in my home, I try my best to be the man that I want my son to be. I try my best to be the man that I would hope that my daughter would marry. And I try my best to be the husband that my wife wants. I mess it up constantly. Constantly. But it's almost like when I was younger, I always wanted to dunk. You know, I wanted to take the ball and be able to throw it in. And that rim was 10 feet. And forever, I was trying to jump up and get that rim. That's what's in my house. Be a good father. Be a good husband. And I'm always jumping up trying to make it. Even though I mess up, I'm always trying to get there. And for us fathers and mothers, that should be what we are trying to build our life on. Being a person of integrity for our children. I'm hoping that my son is seeing a godly man at home. I'm hoping that my daughter is seeing a godly man at home. And I'm hoping my wife knows that she has a godly man at home. When we have integrity, it gives us inner peace. Because we know we are who we say we are. We're not living a lie. We're not trying to be somebody that we're not. People who show integrity are trusted. When I was younger, about 16, 17, it was popular in my neighborhood for people to steal cars. Don't know why. They would call the pizza man and send him to the wrong house, and when he got out, they'd get in the car and take it. You know? But that's not what I did. Because I told you, my mother raised me better than that. So there was a time when these gentlemen, they stole a car and they pulled up in the neighborhood. And where I lived at, it was surrounded by woods. So it was an easy neighborhood to come in and get out and run into the woods, and the cops couldn't find you. So the cops followed the gentleman or the people into the neighborhood. And it just so happened there was a group of teenagers walking through the neighborhood, and I was one of them. And the police pulled up, maybe three or four cars, I don't remember. They got out. They threw us all on the car and put handcuffs on us. And then one of the police officers got out, and he was like the head gentleman. So he started questioning everybody, turned everybody around, was questioning them. And he got to me, and he looked at me. He turned me around. He said, "Sean Price." Turned me back around, took the cuffs off, and said, "I want you to go home. Because my mother showed me how to live with integrity." He didn't even ask me a question. Didn't even question me. He said, "I want you to go home." Because he knew what type of family I've come from. Integrity will protect us. In Psalms 25:21, it says, "My integrity and uprightness protects me because my hope is in God." Integrity keeps the devil from getting a foothold in our life. In the Bible, it says that the devil is like a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. He wants to kill, he wants to steal, he wants to destroy. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to get a foothold in our life and steal the things that God has for us. Maybe kill the plan that God has for your life. Maybe abort some things in your life. And when you walk with integrity, it puts a barrier around you where the enemy can't come in and put strongholds in your life. Integrity is better than being rich. That's what the Bible says. In Proverbs 28:6, it says, "Better to be poor and honest than to be rich and dishonest." There are some simple ways where we can build our integrity. First is to desire it. The Bible says that God will give us the desires of our heart. The things in our heart that we really want from God. He says, "I'll bless you with it." Making friends with people who have integrity. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, "Walk with those that are wise, and you will become wise. Associate with fools, and you'll get in trouble." And also, to pray and ask for it. In Psalms 51:10, right after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and sent her husband Uriah out in war and had him killed, As soon as he messed up, David prayed and he asked the Lord. He said, in 51 and 10 Psalms, he said, God, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. And give me a right spirit. Integrity implies that we are a whole person. It means that you're not divided between the truth and a lie. It means that you're not a different person here and then a different person when you're in school or a different person when you're at work or a different person when you're hanging out in the community. You're a whole person. It means we're the same here at church as we are at home. The Bible has examples of men of integrity, but one I want to point out is Daniel. I believe Daniel was one of the chief men in the Bible that showed integrity. And this is what it speaks about him. In Daniel 6 and 4 it says, then the other administrators and princes began searching for some fault in the way Daniel handled his affairs. But they could not find anything to criticize. He was faithful and he was honest and always responsible. Again, like I said, Daniel was one of the most responsible men in the Bible, but he still ended up in the lion's den. God is not promising us that if we have integrity, that our whole life is going to be smooth. There's people at school. If you show true godly integrity, they may talk about you. There's people on our jobs. If we show true godly integrity, they may not like us. They may, those Bible thumpers, whatever they want to say. It does not mean that we're going to be protected from people persecuting us. But we are called to be people of integrity. And showing integrity is the fear of God. And the Bible says that is the beginning of wisdom in our life. I want to give an example from my own life. You know, Charles came and told you that I do his big house. And there's just I prepare maybe a 7 to 10 minute message, sometimes longer. So I was sitting at the table at home. And I was writing out a message, and my son came to me, and he said, Dad, I want to speak to you. And I asked him, okay, well, what do you want to talk about? And he told me, I'm not going to let it out, but he told me about something that he did at school. And I would have never known that. I would have never known what he told me. So then he asked me to forgive him, and I said, I forgive you. And he asked me, what should I do? And we came up with a plan for him to go and ask his teacher for forgiveness. See, the reason why my son was able to come in and show that type of integrity is because he knows I have a father that loves me. And when we know that how much our father loves us, it frees us to walk in integrity. We can go to people and say, please forgive me, I was wrong. We can go to people and admit what I did was wrong. And we can ask God, what is the plan to get back right? We should establish borders in our life to keep us from the wrong things that we don't want to do. For myself, there's just places that I will not go, and there's things that I will not do. I am not telling you I'm perfect, because there's some things that I need God's grace. But in certain areas of our life, we have to say, I will not do that, and I will not go there. And we have to stand firm on it. Even in small matters, we should be faithful. Because if you're faithful in things that are this small, you'll be faithful in things that are this big. If you want to be elevated by God, and I'm not talking about by man, I'm talking about by God. If you want to see God open doors for you that no man can open, we have to show integrity right where you're at. Right where you're at. And I guarantee you, doors will start opening. And people will start elevating you in areas, and you'll be like, what's happening? And I'm not boasting. But when somebody calls me on Saturday morning and says, you want to preach on Sunday, I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? I thank God. Another way to get integrity is put people around you that have it. God has blessed me in this ministry. There are men in this ministry that I can go to and talk to about things that go on in my life. And I know they won't run around and talk about me. I know they'll be praying for me. I know they'll break a scripture off for me. That's what helps us have integrity. You know, when we had the men's fellowship, that was the best thing in the world. Because when I was younger, I thought all Christian men were sissies. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, when I seen Charles coming down with a kilt on and a sword, I was like, oh, yeah. I felt like it was Braveheart, you know. And then to be able to get with a group of men, and we're talking about being real men of God. That lit a fire in my heart when I went home. And I said, that's what I want to do. I have men around me that are serious about this. You put people around you that are their hearts on fire for God, it's going to rub off on you. So I want to ask something. Do we have integrity in the following areas? When you're alone, what you watch on TV, what do we listen to on the radio, what do we entertain on the internet? Men, what about our wives? Do we respect our wives? Do we honor our wives? The Bible says, do we put our wives first? Because the Bible says that he who finds a wife, we find a good thing. My wife's a good thing. Women, now take it easy. Do we respect our husbands, or do you respect your husbands? The Bible says he is the head of the house. Parents, are we training up our children in the way they should go so they won't depart from it? Young people, are you obeying your parents? Are you honoring your parents? People here that are single, are you keeping yourself for the Lord? Those of us that are working jobs, do we do it as unto the Lord? A quick story. You know, me and Brooke went to Africa maybe 2-3 months ago. And I had to go to my boss and asked her if she would give me 12 days off of work. And the job that I do, I'm the only one there that does it. So in order for them to get somebody else, they have to pay somebody to come in. So when I went to her, I asked her, I was so sure that she wasn't going to let me go so I can go back to Brooke and say, no, I'm not going to Africa. But she said to me, yes, I'm going to let you go on faith. You just go. The reason why she asked me to go, or the reason why she let me go, is because the years of integrity that I showed on my job. Now, before you think I'm boasting in myself, I used to be a lazy, not show up for work. If I didn't like the job, I'm leaving during lunch hour. That's the type of person I used to be. God has changed me. What about our thought life? Our thoughts, do we just let them run rampant? Or do we take them captive? And our conversations, what comes out of our mouth? What are the words that we speak? Young people, when you're not around here and you're with your friends, what are the subjects you talk about? Now, if you're like me, in a lot of these areas, you find that you're falling short. But I do have good news for you. Jesus Christ is our integrity. He is our integrity. In John 15, the fifth chapter, it says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches, us. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, will produce much integrity, will produce much Christian character. For apart from me, you can do nothing. My wife will tell you, I used to be a man that every day was about getting drunk and getting high. That was my life. I wasn't a good example to that young man over there. My marriage was breaking up because I wasn't the man that God wanted me to be. No purpose. Job from job from job from job. Didn't know who I was. And when I look in the mirror today, the only thing I could say, Jesus, you did it. Jesus, you did it. Jesus Christ is living power. And he's alive in my heart. He's alive today. And that's what's here for you. In this season of Lent, we need to get back to our Savior. You're reading, you're praying, whatever it is. I believe that's what God wants me to speak to you today. Get back to your Savior. Renew your relationship. If your relationship with Christ is not hot and heavy, make it. I thank God for everything he's done for me. I truly do. Because the examples I had were not godly men. Listen to this scripture, Matthew 5 and 6. It said, blessed are those who hunger and who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Father, I pray that you put a hunger and a thirst in your people, God, because you promised that you'll fill it. Father, we need you. We're your people, and we are prone to go astray, Father. But we need you to light a fire by your Spirit back in us. Draw us closer to your Son, Jesus, so that we can be the people that you want us to be, so that we can be pleasing, so that we could show an example to our children, to our neighbors, to our community, Father. We need you. And I would encourage anybody in here, if somebody's in here and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're missing out. You're missing out. It is the greatest thing I've ever done. I have been changed in ways that my wife will tell you. She doesn't even have the husband that she married 19 years ago. Totally different man. And that's what Christ can do for you. Purpose. And if you're in here and you're already saved, renew that relationship. Renew it. Renew it. Do your best to get back to God. It doesn't take reading an hour a day. It doesn't take praying an hour a day. It starts with 5 minutes. We all know the story of the little boy who brought the fish and the loaves. Just a little bit. He'll multiply it. He'll make it grow. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It is a promise. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak in front of my church family, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that you've given me words to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.